Hello everyone, welcome to Really Old Movies. I'm your host Harrison Scullin, and today I got my special guest, my brother Hunter, and we'll be discussing The Mummy's Tomb from 1942. Alright, so why don't you introduce yourself a little bit, Hunter, before we get started.
My name's Hunter, as was said multiple times.
Yes.
I'm Harrison's brother, and that's the only thing important about me.
Yes.
I am on Letterboxd. It's a good movie. I haven't made a review in a couple months because I've been busy up at college, but
yeah, so I'll have links to that in the description. And what's it called? It's a good movie,
it's
right?
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie. Well, we'll talk about this one today and determine if it's a good movie or not, right? Okay, so let's get started on the plot, Hunter. Why don't you talk a little bit about your thoughts on The Mummy's Tomb's plot and your score out of 5.
Okay. Well, the plot itself is a revenge story. And like any good revenge story, there's lots of walking around, learning new information, walking around some more.
Yes. Lots of walking.
And
yep.
Honestly, like the whole movie was like someone happened to be over here and overheard something, and they're like, okay, what? I'm going to do this. And then they walk somewhere else and overhear something else. And then the mummy just kind of walks around.
Yeah.
He just does his own thing. I guess he's supposed to be, like, killing off the family or whatever. But he's just, like, wandering around and, like, happens to find them.
Yeah. No, I found that really weird, too. Like, because he has his Turkish Delight guy who's kind of guiding him around. He's like, go kill this guy. But it's like, how does he know where he lives? You know, how does he know where he's going to be at? What he looks like, even.
Yeah. Maybe to give a brief synopsis of the plot of the movie. In the first film, they go to Egypt and find a mummy, and they kill him. That's the whole movie.
Yep.
And then in this one, 30 years later, it opens with our main characters from the first movie.
It's actually the second.
From the second movie.
Technically, it's kind of a soft reboot. It's not like the Boris Karloff one at all.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, you haven't seen that one. Well, then.
But, anyways. So they just, like, explain the second movie. And show scenes, like, full scenes from that movie while he's describing the story.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to Egypt and he's like, 30 years ago these events happened. We're gonna go find them and kill all of them.
Yes. Get revenge.
Yeah. So that, and then he goes and kills a bunch of people. And then it ends.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
So there's the one part in the movie which only has like an hour and 1 minute runtime.
Yeah, it's pretty short. Which is pretty standard for these Universal movies.
Thankfully. But at one part there's like the guy, just the, like, evil guy, the Turkish Delight, as he was known in the day by his adamant followers, as in the actor, not the character. He's just like, I'm in love with that blonde lady, and I need a son to keep protecting the mummy. And that was, like, kind of just weird. Like, kind of random.
Yeah.
Like, out of nowhere, they just showed him, like, thinking about her.
Yeah, there's, like, no real motives for him at all other than to steal the girl.
Anyways, so I gave it a 2.
Gave it a 2? Well, I also gave the plot a 2. A lot of the things you said I mentioned, I'll just add. I didn't like how basically the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie are just a recap of the last one. So it's like, oh, well, I guess I don't need to watch the other one then, right? I think I kind of get why they did that because, you know, back then they weren't releasing physical movies. You know, you couldn't watch it again. So I could kind of see that. But when you watch the other movies, they show like maybe one or two scenes that kind of help you out. Not whole sequences to where it takes up a good chunk of your movie. So to me, this feels like, oh, we don't have a lot of money. No production money. We still have this costume. Hey, let's just use 30 minutes from the last movie and rehash it into this one, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of what it felt like.
Yeah, well, on that note, like, the movie only runs an hour. So right. You eat up 15, 20 minutes watching the first movie, and then you just happen to be in, like, America walking around killing everybody.
Yeah. What? But, yeah, I don't know. I didn't like that aspect. It felt very lazy and very cheap. Mm-hmm. And then, what else? I didn't like the other villain, you know, the Turkish Delight guy. Mm-hmm. No motives really at all. Not very clear. And the way he dies is just so anticlimactic.
Yeah.
Like, you just get shot and he's like, oh, he just falls over, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't even because the Turkish Delight guy kidnaps Steven, his fiance, you know? But yeah, that's why I gave the plot a 2 out of 5. Mm-hmm. All right. What are your thoughts on the acting?
Acting. It was fine. I liked the acting. Everyone screamed when they were supposed to. Everyone talked when they were supposed to in a way that was good.
Yeah.
I thought it was... Honestly, I don't have anything to say about the acting. Wait, actually? No, I had nothing to say about the acting. I gave it a 3.
Yeah.
I was like, good enough.
Yeah. No, I agree. I also gave it a 3. We'll just add... I like the character of Steven and his fiance, although I feel like they're in a different movie. Like, I feel like they'd be better in a rom-com or screwball comedy. To be that whole aspect, if you turn that sequence with them in it on, you wouldn't know it was a horror movie or a mummy movie, you know?
Oh, of them talking about him leaving and...
Yeah.
Yeah, also... <It's> so <what? laughs> They're just like...
Oh, you know, I'm going to the war!
Yeah, I know. Well, it did come out in 1942. So it's yeah, on everybody's mind.
Which was true, but I don't know. And then here's the thing, too. I'm pretty sure the other one took place in the 20s or the 30s. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, that would have been 10 or 15 years later.
Interesting.
Somebody's math is off.
Weird.
Unless it took place in 1910. I don't think the second one takes place in 1910. I think it takes place in the 30s. I could be wrong. I'll check on that.
They just expected us to be in perpetual war by the 60s.
Maybe. Good point. I mean, technically we were, right? But anyways...
That was a more compelling story there, though, than anything.
Yeah, like, that was more interesting than anything else that the mummy was doing.
That's funny. Weird.
Yeah. So I don't know why they were there, honestly. Let's see. I like the mummy himself, but he's played this time by Lon Chaney, who's the Wolfman. I'm pretty sure he plays the son of Dracula. Like, in the 40s, he was like in every Universal movie as one of the characters. So I liked him. He was fine. But I do think he kills way too easily. Like, it's not believable at all.
Yeah, he just kind
of... He's just like limping and then grabs them and then they fall over dead. Like that other guy who's just holding a shotgun and he's just stunned, drops it and falls over. Yeah. Like, it was not good.
Yeah, and then he just like leans over and...
Yeah, he just... Mm-hmm. I didn't like that too much, but honestly, there are no performances though that stood out to me. I was like, oh, that was terrible, or oh, that was great. Everything just seemed, it was your average 40s movie.
Yeah. I haven't really seen anything from this era to compare it to. So, like,
I don't think you have, huh?
Not yet.
Yeah. Well, I would compare it to probably like one of those cheesy war movies that John Wayne would do, like Fighting Seabees, or I think it was on that level. It was definitely like a B movie.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Not your melodrama or something like Gone with the Wind or anything like that.
Yeah, the production was like low. It was like watching like a TV movie.
Yeah, it kind of felt like a TV movie.
Maybe it was. I don't know.
Right. There's no TV yet, but honestly, it could have easily been like a Twilight Zone episode or something like that. Yeah. If it was made 15 years later. But anyways, that's kind of my thoughts on the acting. All right, what are your thoughts on the directing?
Kind of following my point about how the movie was literally just like people walking around, I gave it a 1.
Mm.
Because, like, that was it. The whole movie was just,
right,
like,
walking around. Yeah. No, it's nothing spectacular. I've never heard of the guy who directed it. I don't remember his name. He was probably one of those, you hear, like, journeyman directors. Once you don't really have a specific style, they're kind of just hired on to do a project.
Mm-hmm. Was it just a cash grab? This movie was just a cash grab?
Probably.
Or to keep rights to the characters or something?
Well, because it's an original idea from Universal that they made, mm-hmm, for the first movie. Because unlike like Frankenstein or Dracula, those are adaptations, but this is an original idea they came up with. Mm-hmm. As far as I remember.
And it is a sequel.
It's a second sequel. It was probably to cash in on the popularity, because I think these movies were really, really popular. Especially the Frankenstein movies. Those were really, really popular, in the Dracula. So probably just, oh yeah, like the Marvel movies we have now, right? It's like, yeah, oh, that's the next Mummy movie, next Batman movie, you know,
well,
whatever.
Yeah, just trying to look up a little bit online about this movie, I found like tons and tons of monster movies with like similar titles,
yeah,
and similar plots. Yep. Like there's one that has a title like almost synonymous with this one, and like it's the same mummy character, and he goes to like the bayou in Louisiana and is like killing people.
Oh, is that The Curse of the Mummy?
Yeah.
That's the next one.
That's the next one. Yeah. Okay. But it's just like, they're all just making the, okay. Well.
Yeah. They took him out of Egypt and he's just going around America, yeah, I guess.
Now he's on a trip.
That's going down the bayou.
That would be a good show. The Mummy Experiences America.
Yeah. All right, so, but 1 out of 5 for you, huh, for directing?
Yeah, it was just generic. There's nothing unique about, yeah, the movie at all.
Yeah. No, and I'm glad I didn't watch the second one before I watched this, because I probably would have gotten it mixed up. The whole time, I kept calling this one The Mummy's Hand, because The Mummy's Tomb makes more sense for the other movie, because, yeah, they're actually in his tomb.
Yeah.
This one, they're not really in it.
Never.
This one makes more sense because he's using his hand to kill people, you, yeah, know? But they're switched. That doesn't make any sense.
That's funny.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you my thoughts on the directing. I gave it a 2 out of 5. Felt lazy, you know, no new stuff really. Because, like I was saying earlier, it felt like, well, the war's going on. We can't do a huge production like we did the last couple ones. Hey, we got this set that looks like a house in Louisiana. Hey, let's bring them to America.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Then we don't have to build a throne room or anything. Ooh, we ran out of film. Hey, let's take 20 minutes from the last one. I want to look in the production history of this. There's got to be something about how poorly conceived and put together it was. Ugh. Yeah, I agree. It was very generic. Nothing special about it. Because when I think of a movie that has really good direction, I think of like Casablanca or even Wizard of Oz, you know? Like you could kind of tell when they're in the sepia era in Wizard of Oz, and then when they're in the color era and they're, you know, in Oz, it's very unique and different. And I give credit to, I think it was Victor Fleming who did that one. Yeah, like, but this, it's like, okay.
Kind of like some Universal Mummy movies nowadays.
Yeah, well.
Well, just the Tom Cruise one was like.
Ooh. I haven't even seen that one.
It's fine.
So maybe history repeats itself. All right. What are your thoughts on cinematography / special effects?
Okay. Well, I mean, they had the mummy suit. It was cool. Though, in the scenes from the first movie, he has, like, these creepy-looking black eyes.
Yeah, they colored on the film to do that.
Really?
Yeah.
It looked so cool.
Yeah.
I was like,
I remember really liking that, yeah.
So I saw that in those, but in this one, maybe his eyes got burned when he got
caught. They were closed.
He has, like, mud on his eyes or something. I was like,
yeah.
He took away the one thing that actually made him look kind of unsettling and creepy was those, like, dark-looking eyes.
Yeah.
And then in this one, he just has, like, mud.
Yeah.
you got some poo-poo in your eye. That's what it looks like.
It's true, though. Well, and if you, when you get the chance to watch the first one, that's actually the highlight of it, is Boris Karloff, right? He has these, like, sunken eyes, so he kind of looks like a skeleton. And the camera zooms in on it, and they put these really cool color filters. So he's, like, looking in. Or light filters, rather. So it's, like, really spooky looking, because he, like, hypnotizes people almost. So they take all of that away and make a blind in this.
So, like...
It's not even the same mummy, but still.
Yeah. So there's an interesting mummy where someone was trying to make a good... I don't know. They're trying to do something new.
And yeah, trying to make a scary monster.
This was just kind of...
Yeah.
Interesting. So that was a bummer. I could see where it was, and I saw this and I was like, meh. And I thought the scream edits were funny. How every time a character had scream, they would, like, you'd see them look at the mummy and scream. Only with the girls, though. None of the guys that screamed, like, this would happen. But, like, when a girl screams, she, like, screams, and then it cuts to everyone who's in, like, the other room who hears it, and they replay the same scream sound.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we should go check on that screen.
What's going on?
But it's just funny that they reuse the same screen noise every time.
Yes, which I think adds on to the cheapness of the movie.
Yeah.
They probably could afford to do another screen.
Yeah.
Well.
And then, okay, there was one moment of special effects that I was like, that was good. And it's when the guy leaves the bar. He's walking in the alley, and the mummy, like, comes up to him in the alley and does his normal thing where he, like, reaches out. He, like, corners him. He, like, walks, so the guy steps into a corner.
Yeah.
And he just kind of, like, well, I guess he's got one arm tied up, but he, like, chokes him out.
But, like, I think he'd throw a tire at him.
No, well, when he reaches down, the guy takes a plank and smacks him on the head with it, and it breaks.
Yeah.
And, like, spatters out. I was like, that was cool. That was the only time anything interesting happened when he killed somebody.
Yeah.
And then he did, well, then he was just like, so it ended, but he broke the plank on him. I was like, that was cool visual effects. I mean, well, special effects.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. Anything else you want to add? No.
Okay. So what did I give it?
I think you gave it a 2.
I gave it 2.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I give it a 1. I thought it was bland, generic. Like I was saying earlier, if you put this on TV, would you be able to tell if it was a mummy movie? I would say no. Because there's no Egypt. There's no, like, well, there's kind of a priest type guy. Not really. He just looked like a Charlie Chan wannabe. The set pieces were, again, it just looked like a house that they went inside of. I will say, the fire was really cool. The fire at the end of the movie. That was really cool how they did that. It actually looked like people were getting burned and stuff. It was crazy. But when you compare it to the first one, and I don't really like the first one either, but that one had crazy costumes, crazy special effects, like in the throne room. The
guy falling down a super long staircase.
Oh, yeah. That's the second
one. Oh, you're talking way back.
I'm talking about the way, way back. Although the second one has some good stuff, too, in a throne room. There was none of that. It just felt like, oh, well, we got this bed here. Yeah, this is our throne room.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you could tell the... It went down in quality from the first to this one. Yeah, no. I didn't like it at all. That's why I gave it a 1 out of 5. All right. Music. What are your thoughts on the music?
I feel like I can't give it a good grade because I didn't notice the music at all in the movie. But then I thought, maybe then it's not great. It's just kind of generic. So I gave it a 1.
Give it a 1?
I was like, I don't know. I didn't notice. I didn't even notice. I don't know. I couldn't even think to a time where there was music that I thought was interesting.
Yeah. No, I agree. I gave it a 3 out of 5. I wasn't that harsh. Only because...
Sorry.
Right? It was suspenseful in the scenes with the mummy. I think that's probably the most memorable parts of the music. But the rest of the movie, like when people are just sitting and talking, you can't really remember it. And now I think about it, the only Universal Monster movie I loved the score for was Dracula from 1931. Because that one, they use classical music. And I don't know the name of it, but it goes do 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 do. So they use it in Dracula. They also use it in The Mummy. Mm. And in the first Mummy movie, and it fits in there too. I like the use of classical music. They did not use it here. Mm. It's just your generic dun dun dun.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. No, I...
TV movie.
TV movie, yep. If this was made in the 70s, on television, with, like, people with afros and, like, crazy collars and, like, a Scooby-Doo type of thing, it probably would have been really popular and everyone would love it now. But it's got no style, no pizzazz, nothing. Music is terrible. It could have used some funky music, like disco music.
Yeah, that would be cool. That would spice things up.
Yeah, it'd make it interesting.
I don't know what I would do to salvage the movie. Reshoot.
I would just totally...
scrap all the mummy parts and do the romance of the guy in the car.
Yeah, just make a totally different movie. Yeah. Well, it was more compelling. No, I agree with that. Yeah, how would you salvage this? I think it suffers from sequel-itis. Because the first movie, right? Tutankhamun. No, not Tutankhamun. That's an actual guy. It was Imhotep, all of that, right? He dies at the end of that one. The second one, it's this guy, Carice, or whatever his name is. Mm-hmm. Not even the same mummy. I think they should have just done another mummy. Mm-hmm. Set in present day, you know, 1940s. That would have been interesting. Mm-hmm. Instead of going back and trying to do the other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kept forgetting his name was Carice or whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, when he was off camera and the guy was like, Carice, come here. I, like, never knew what to... like,
who, got a cat?
I was like, who's Carice again? Like, waiting for, like, a person to walk on screen. And then he would just, like, shuffle on screen. Like, oh, yeah. That's
his yeah.
Name. Ugh. He's just, like, bullied by this protector guy.
Yeah. Well, let's go into our Letterboxd slots then. What did you give it out of 5, kind of your average score?
The average was like 0.45. I rounded down to a 2. I didn't want to round up to a 3.
No, yeah.
Well,
so 2.45?
So the score is just 2.
Oh, just 2. Okay.
Just 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't recommend it. There's probably better stuff, and people need to spend their time watching the good stuff.
Yeah.
They don't need to watch this one. There's not. It's not even like funny bad. It's just kind of boring.
Yeah, kind of bland. No, I agree. I also get, I get a 2.2, which is 2 out of 5 as well. You know, it makes me think. I've never seen any of them, but you hear people talk about the Halloween movies or Nightmare on Elm Street, where the first, sometimes the second ones are pretty good, but once you get to the third and fourth, that's where it like goes off the rails, crazy bananas. Mm-hmm. This one just feels like a safe choice.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like maybe they didn't know what they wanted to do, or, like I said, limitations of production, whatever it was. It just feels like meh. Just feels like nothing. It's just a nothing.
It's like...
it's dead.
It's like a monster movie. I don't know. It's just like... yeah.
I'm sure the production... story is more interesting than the movie is.
Yeah.
It probably is. Usually they have like behind the scenes on these DVDs that I have. I don't think this one had any. It's like, no one cares. It's the Mummy's hand. Or Mummy's Tomb. See, I can't even get the name.
Mummy's Hand Tomb. Tumbado.
Yes, Tumbado. All right, well... any last thoughts you want to add about the Mummy's Tomb? Is it dead in the water?
No, it's dead in America.
Dead in America, yep.
I guess the house burning down was cool.
Yeah, it was kind of cool.
It was fine. They're like, scare them with fire. I have nothing to say about this.
Yeah. It's just a bland movie. I wish I picked a different one for you to watch, but that's okay.
I must be exposed.
That's right. You got to diversify your palate. As Chris Gore says in Film Threat. You got to watch crappy indie movies, the blockbuster movies, and then old movies. So that's what I try to do too.
Well, my palate has been expanded.
This is the, what would you say, like, if I had to rate it like a cheeseburger, would it be like a McDonald's cheeseburger, In-N-Out, or something like Baker's, or or something like Taco or Del Taco, which has a cheeseburger, but
they do?
Yeah, it's not very good.
I was gonna say, if Del Taco made a cheeseburger, this is the one they made.
Yeah, it's just bland. It looks good, it looks enticing, but it's just
This is like, I'm at college right now, and I don't have a lot of things. I tried making burgers. This is about how they turned out, with whatever the heck was in my fridge that I stole from my roommate. So.
Oh, seen from here, there. Yeah.
Like, finding the old set is like finding that old ranch that's, for whatever reason, still in your apartment. You're like, this is going to be good.
This will be fine. Expired 2 years ago. That's okay.
That's okay. So, yes.
Well, nice. Well, I have nothing more to add to this. It makes me curious about how the series progresses forward, because I believe there are one or two more after this one. So... we'll see how it goes.
Good luck, soldier.
Thank you. But anyways, well, those are our thoughts on The Mummy's Tomb from, I think it's 1942. Thank you again, Hunter, for coming on. And I know you don't have a channel, but anything you want to say to the people before we sign off?
Those are my mummy noises.
Those are the mummy noises.
So for all you mummies out there, leave with that.
Okay. Well, thanks again for coming on, and I'm excited to keep watching more old movies with you. And in general by myself. No, I love having you on. I loved that one we did about Joan of Arc. Yeah. The Passion of Joan of Arc. That was an excellent movie. Yeah. So that one is on the YouTube channel as well, so check that one out. That one was really, really
fun. Watch that movie instead.
Yeah, watch that movie instead. You'll have more fun than with this one. Yeah. But anyways, well, those are our thoughts on it. I'm Harrison Scullin from Really Old Movies, and make sure to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Really Old Movies, where I discuss details about the week's particular film. New episodes are released Saturdays at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and on YouTube. All right. Thanks again for coming on, and thanks for tuning in. This is Really Old Movies. I'm your host, Harrison Scullin. Take care.